Do we wanna dance? 手を取り踊ろう。夜も明けるまで。Oh baby, do you wanna dance with me, baby? 二人包む胸、甘いキス顔をして、
good afternoon, everybody. It's 2:05. My name is Zeke. I'm here with Allison Elizabeth. How are you doing, Allison?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Actually, exceedingly well.
Whoa.
It's surprising, given, yes, it has been sort of, what was it? Was it last week that I was sort of like just all completely blah, like a puddle of like goo?
Yeah, I'd say so.
And yeah, no, today, it's, we're up at the top of the mountain or something like that.
That sounds awesome.
I'm very pleased. If you haven't quite figured this out, it's 2:05 and a half. This is CKUT 90.3 FM. The show is Movement Museum. We're going to talk about dance on your radio or on your computer. What is it? I said 90.3 FM in Montreal. There's 91.7 FM if you use cable. Movement-museum.blogspot.com if you're using it on the radio. Facebook, Twitter, if you want to email us stuff, movement@ckut.ca. And am I forgetting anything?
I don't know. You could subscribe to the podcast, which I do.
Oh, very, yes, that's out. iTunes. Forgot about that. iTunes. We're all over the place. And yeah, not only am I exceedingly well, I think I've got this adrenaline thing down.
Sweet, sweet. This like weekly dose of poetry is helping.
Yes. Exactly. So at which point would you be so kind?
I would. We're going to read The Bridge today, and it's anonymous. And here we go. It's just a short, cute little poem. This is the bridge that we can cross, and these are the borders that we have lost. These are the feet on solid ground, and here are the ruins of conviction. These are the kisses that give birth, and these are the words that came from the void. This is the music we heard in the wind, and here is the tree with its roots in heaven. This is the mirror that shows your face, and this is the well we drink from. This is the torch that lights up the way, and here's the rainbow that was meant to be. Let's dance. This is the bridge. Let's dance. This is our life. Let's dance. Let's dance. Let's dance.
I quite like that. It's a pity that it's anonymous. You want to sort of like pat somebody on the back for that one.
Well, there we go. Just a little shout out to whoever wrote The Bridge.
Yeah, and there, just a brief overview. We got like the part six, the final bit of the Trisha Brown interview she did with, what's his name, Reinhardt, the guy who runs the American Dance Festival down in North Carolina. I'm going to make you trip out and stuff like that, because I did a pre-recorded sound art piece as my review for the Multigraphers Group.
Whoa.
If you have any leftover tabs of acid hanging out, or you have some mushrooms, I'll give you a heads up when the Trisha starts, take them so that it sort of kicks in just as we start doing the Multigraphers stuff. And then we're going to be reviewing a cool concept that I don't think has actually ever been reviewed before, but Dance Theater Workshop down in New York has done this phenomenal thing called Twitter Choreography, where they take their followers and ask them to toss out movements, and then they sort of get somebody who knows how to dance, knows how to move their body, and they turn them into a dance. And we're going to review these dances, and I don't think that they've been reviewed before. And then, yeah, I hope that takes up enough time, because I'm looking at the run sheet and realizing, oh, geez, there's the awesome dance calendar on audition calls, which in parentheses it says, if necessary. And other than what I have to go see tomorrow, I am going to fall flat on my face on that. But yes, there is. How's Commotion? How's the dance week going?
So far, so good.
So far, so good?
Yeah. We've had a few of our workshops already gone by, and the movie night, which was a total blast. Anissa's Movie Monday, she came back and did
Breaking and Breaking 2.
Yeah. And if you've never seen these films before, they are amazing.
I saw them when they came out.
Okay. Nice. Nice. They're even more hilarious now.
Okay.
But yeah, from the 80s breakdance movies, and it's just... Oh, it was wonderful.
I even walked around with leg warmers.
Oh, yeah? Yes. Were they like bright fuchsia colors or?
The only kind.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
You should probably the less I talk about my fascination with Culture Club, the better. How about we go to the last part of this Trisha Brown interview? I've been learning all sorts of stuff, which leads in immensely into this whole thing about, the Legacy Repertory Project, which is... Andrea Gun, do you have multi-syllabic names for
Gunnlofsson?
Yes, that's the other thing we're going to be talking about. But let's get to Trisha first and, get my learning on.
When the teachers who have danced with you are out teaching now, who are associated with you, are they teaching what you have taught them to teach, or are they developing it on their own?
Well, within the company, we share a lot of regimens, I'll say. The technique is not quite right, but concepts of movement perhaps is the most accurate. And some of them I've mentioned already, and there are others. Because what I recognized is that as my body aged, it was not... what I needed to do wasn't applicable to another kind of a body or younger bodies. So I didn't want to impose my limitations on someone else. So I pulled out of the teaching area and encouraged my dancers to find their way to have a streamlined, efficient body. But you asked a question, I didn't quite answer it. Oh, so what we do, the place where all of this comes together is in the creation of movement and the teaching of that movement to the company. That's when you find out whether you're moving the arm from the finger first or from the elbow or from the shoulder. And if it's from the shoulder, is it coming from the scapula or not? And so all of that discussion takes place in that context, and my dancers internalize that information, process it through their body and their training, and it comes out in exercises that they design that reflect them but are based in this philosophy.
You have received the MacArthur Award, which is wonderful. Will that enable you to fulfill any dreams you have not fulfilled?
Yes! Yes, I'm buying a house right now in the country. And this has been the great imbalance in my life for many, many, many years. And I can't tell you what joy it's unleashed in me to be able to get out of. What an irony, Charlie, to grow up a wild child, once described by Steve Paxton during a Grand Union performance as, "They found her in the woods. Her teeth were broken and stained by blackberries." a really just extraordinary outdoors, one with nature childhood, and to spend my adult life in major urban cities around the world, including the Soviet Union and China, Australia, but then you could say El Paso, Chicago, whatever you want. 7 months of touring last year in an urban center, in a hotel in the center of that city, working in a theater which is also in the center of that city, dark all day long in the darkness. So that's what my accountant thinks my MacArthur is, my pension. But I turned him around.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, you have, listening to you talk about the early Judson days, and then seeing what could be called collaborations, which is what I want to ask you about, with the painters and musicians you're working with today. Is it collaboration? Is it obstacles, or part of both?
Oh God! Or is it a love poem? I'm saying that because I just got a call from Bob Rauschenberg about 2 weeks ago, in which he said, "Well, you're lucky I dialed your phone wrong last night at 2 a.m. because I had a I have a piece for you." And so I said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "Well, it's called If I Weren't Here. It's a solo for you. You have to keep your back to the audience. You can maybe look over your shoulder a little bit, but maybe not. And we have some gauze, some transparent fabrics that'll come in or out, maybe for the costume." I said, "What's the music?" He said, "I'm writing the music." I said, "Can I hear it?" He said, "Yes." He said, "But it's going to be played soft. It'll be played, you know." Okay, so he plays it. And I'm listening to it, and it's beautiful. He has a synthesizer, and he's been working on it. So when he came back on the phone, he said, asked me, "What did I think of it?" And I said, "Well, I can barely hear it, Bob. It sounds beautiful." He said, "Well, that's the point." '60, when I went from Judson back up to Connecticut, because this old homegirl heads home when she can, to study with Louis Horst one more time, in which we actually did connect as student and teacher. They had a program for people who, where you could audition to put a choreography on an evening. And I auditioned Trillium, which was the first piece I made in New York, that had, in which I managed, I think, to levitate. But that's another story. The music to it was a a sound score that Simone Forti made where she sings a pitch, well, like a multiple pitch, at the same time as her vacuum cleaner is on. This may take us back to the hose in the aria story, I'm not sure. But anyway, she's a superb musician, and she had made a tape for Trillium for me. And the judges refused to show this choreography because they didn't like it. But someone in the audience, other people auditioning, saw it and was riveted by it and complained. And the student body should have an opportunity to see this choreography. Whereupon I received a message saying, if I would remove the music, I could do the dance. So I sent a note back saying, no deal, in student terms, you know, normal terms. And then a letter was drawn up and passed around to the student body to sign in favor of Trillium appearing in this program. Poor Bessie Schoenberg was appointed to explain to me why this dance should not appear in the program. She was going to appeal to my higher intelligence. Sitting at the table in the cafeteria at Connecticut College, she didn't understand the logic of how I had organized this dance, and made the assumption there was none, and said, you can't just take things and put them together in an order, just any old order, like this pepper shaker and this ashtray and this pencil and this, well, actually, this is looking rather nice.
And yes, you can put things in order in any which way you like, and so far, so on and so forth. That is the last bit of, I forgot to play the ad. We'll get to it later. Yes, that was the last bit of the Tricia Brown interview, which I found extremely informative and leads in nicely to us talking about the Legacy Repertory Project, because one of the things that I found extremely nice about this was I'm just learning all sorts of stuff about what happened in the past before I was born. And knowing the history of your medium is important.
Very important, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
So for, introduction, Alice and Elizabeth, could you... Yeah, do you think you can synopsize what the Legacy Repertory Project is?
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, it sounds like it's a specific project, a show going on that's in Vancouver right now, started by Andrea Gunn-Lawson. Ooh, anyway. And it's...
Apologies if we mispronounced.
Oh, yeah,
you.
Definitely. She's presenting repertoire work from contemporary choreographers that's at least 10 years old, and they're having like new companies performing this work, and it's just so beautiful. One of the things she says about it is that this community needs a celebration of our transitions, a reflection and acknowledgement of that which has made us a successful community, so abundantly creative and artistic. And it's the same thing where you need that history to inform the present and the future of dance, and the difficulty in exploring the history of dance, especially on, you know, video, and in some cases when it's not even documented, how do you experience that all over again for the first time?
Yeah, one of the things that sort of struck me reading it was her mentioning how sort of the difference between ballet and dance, and how ballet seems to only work off a repertoire,
right,
and dance only does the new, and
yeah,
given that... was this sort of thing where, given the sort of learning curve that I've taken in this show, is just I'm making less and less distinction between ballet dance, popular, cultured, and so on. And at which point realizing, yes, you do need to know what happened earlier. The more you know, the easier it is. And I found a friend's got a wicked cool book which actually has names of people from the 18th century.
This
is cool stuff.
Kind of a complete lexicon of history.
Yeah, I think it's one of these sort of like Cole's Notes to Ballet.
Nice.
Which I definitely need. But yeah, there it struck me with that, with the Legacy Repertory Project. It's, yeah, one of the things that struck me in there was also how she talks about it premiered the three dances that she's, that they're recreating, that they premiered and that they all did like in the 90s and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
which then led me to question, did they ever get played again? Or was it just a one-shot deal even at that time?
Oh, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Neither do I. We're going to have to. We will at some point talk to her. We're just working out the details and the logistics. The technology. We need to get make sure all the technology works first. But yeah, then the other question I have is, how are you? Because you are doing choreography, and tonight you are even doing, if I remember, no, tomorrow night you're doing an improvised choreography, if I remember, right?
Yes, that's right. For how the
are
English
you?
Mess.
How are you archiving and saving your work?
Well, the whole the Commotion Farm team, we've got it built in. You know, we're going to have a videographer filming all the performances and actually several photographers at the dress rehearsals and at the performances of Common Space to kind of keep a nice documentation of what's going on.
Anybody with a going to be rehearsing with a camera on their head or shoulders?
I don't think so. What do you mean by that?
The reason I ask is because I don't remember who it was that was talking, whether it was here on air or whether it was in my dreams while I was asleep or something like that. But the whole idea that archiving from the observer's viewpoint versus archiving from the dancer's viewpoint are two completely separate things. And given, depending on the nature of dance or just doing both, can be extremely rich and informative. It's sort of like I heard somebody recently talk about how they had for the first time been in the middle of an orchestra and listened to what happened, and it's a completely different experience than being back in the audience, and both are amazing experiences. I can imagine having a camera on the shoulder or on the head, he says as he touches them backwards, would give a completely different perspective on what the dance was.
Yeah, I think I brought that up when we were talking about preserving Cunningham. It's the perspective from the audience or the perspective from the dancer's point of view. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if a camera on the dancer's head would necessarily encompass that perspective I was talking about, you know, muscle memory and, you know, what it feels like to move as well as what it looks like to move and what the details mm-hmm. of it are. And something that Andrea is doing, which is really interesting, she was actually in the original performances for two of the choreographies that they're remounting. So she's going into rehearsals and providing that information for the dancers, the, you know, what it felt like, what it was like to perform. And so they're not just looking at, you know, the choreographer's notes. They're not just going off of video. They actually have that body-to-body resource as well.
Although there, it's sort of thing where, imagine that though the camera on the head or the shoulder would be as effective in terms of transferring the sensation of the visual sensation of dancing as the camera from the outside would be in sort of imposing that on the viewer's perspective as well, because there's quite a difference between your multi-camera viewpoints mm-hmm. cutting between things versus I'm sitting in a seat in Salle Wolfrid or Théâtre Maisonneuve. There's only one viewpoint I have, and that's my personal reaction to that specific dance, as opposed to you talking about multiple cameras for yours.
That's interesting. That you're actually reminding me of like the somatic approach to I don't know, rehearsing pieces, and how they say you're supposed to meditate on the piece and go through the piece in your head. But when you do that, you don't visualize what the piece looks like from the outside. You visualize what the piece looks like from the inside and what you're seeing while you're doing it. You're also, you know, thinking about what it feels like in your body, you know, where the trouble points are, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, and they really focus, like, the image you have in your head has to be the image that you're going to see when you're on stage, mm-hmm. not what they are going to see.
And then the other thought that occurred to me in thinking about this is where music is relatively simple to archive, recreate. Now I'm just like endlessly fascinated that there are cover bands that are playing the Bell Center and selling out. And I just never sort of thought that would ever happen, because to me, cover bands are never all that great in the first place. That's why they're cover bands as opposed to original bands. But given the notation for music, it is relatively simple for simple forms of music so as to enable the audience to, what would it be, follow along, recreate it themselves if they want to just do it as a sort of like an amateur way, sort of like let's all sing with the family and so on. At some point, I assume, because I've never seen any sort of notation for ballet, for choreography, except for the text for the Twitter choreography, where I said, oh yeah, that's the first time I've ever seen anybody sort of write down what it is. And if there was almost a standardized way that was relatively simple, so that as an audience member could follow along, then at which point being able to remember those dances would become much, much easier.
I think it probably has to do with complexity, because like there is the Le Band notation, but that is not in layman's terms at all. And then you could say things like, you could probably write down the Macarena in a way that everybody would understand, you know?
Which is why a lot of people do the Macarena.
Exactly. So I think that's when it gets, more complex, that might be the problem there with that kind of...
At some point, I'm going to have to ask you to bring in some repertoire. Choreography notes or something like that and figure it out.
Yeah, I'll bring in my notebook and you can try and decode it.
Okay.
See what it looks like.
Cool. Anything else you want to hit on this? Other than it's a really cool idea?
Oh, it's a totally cool idea. Another quote I wanted to read of hers is, preservation and innovation go hand in hand. When you're talking about how ballet and contemporary dance are the opposite in terms of what the audience is looking for, and you want fresh, new, innovative work with contemporary dance, but you need to know what the risks were before and where people went before so that you know how to build on that. And that's something that she brings up in the article, and I think that's brilliant. And something else on the flip side of kind of benefit is these companies performing these older works are getting a chance to, the performers themselves are getting a chance to dance in a different style than they're used to. And it just enriches everyone's experience.
I agree entirely. We will have to get her. We got to figure out the logistics. We got to figure out timing, because yes, they're like 3 or 4 hours difference from us. But yeah, big shout outs and props to Andrea. How do you pronounce her last name?
Please. Why are you doing this to me?
Because I don't have the piece of paper in front of me.
There you go.
Okay, thank you. Andrea, where'd it go?
Right at the top there.
Right at the top. Gunnlaugsson.
There we go.
It's simple. Gunnlaugsson. Gunnlaugsson. Andrea Gunnlaugsson. Shout outs and props. Anyhow, you are listening to Movement Museum. It's 2:30 in the afternoon. We're at 90.3 FM CKUT in Montreal, 91.7 on your cable dial, movement-museum.blogspot.com on your computer, and we will be back momentarily. And we're back. Just in case you were interested, this is the music in the background that's playing when we sound way more intelligent than we are. Is Dialogue by Eleanor Frey and David Fung. One of them plays a cello, the other one plays the piano, and I so far have only... Oh, that's why. How about we do this for a second? Let me fade this out. And hit stop. Because all I'd been hearing was a solo cello, and it was the Bach Suite Number 1, which just is way overplayed. So we're going to do an audible number, track 9. This is some guy named Stucky. And tell me what you think of this.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, Dialogue by Eleanor Frey and David Fung. Which, yeah, we're only going to hear 30 seconds of, because I got my Multigraphers thing about.
Can you tell me a bit about Multigraphers before you play this?
Yeah, Multigraphers is, and that's where I screwed up. Somebody's got to, like, I don't know, take me outside and, yeah, which multi? Beat me up large, loud, and fast. No, because I meant to write down names. And
well, give me concepts then.
No, it's, do you remember Sue?
Yes.
And she is a multigrapher. Then, yeah, then there are 4, 5, 7 other people involved and stuff like that. And they are a multidisciplinary construct of people doing weird and wonderful stuff, which on the first surface was, yeah, something I was sort of saying, I'm not so certain I'm going to like that because...
Is this multi, like, with technology and video and stuff?
Technology, video, music, dancing, painting, interior decorating and stuff like that as well. And, yeah, and so it was the sort of thing, that sort of, like, edge stuff with people experimenting. Yeah, unfortunately, I'd like to say that I'm cutting edge, I'm bleeding edge, I'm leading edge, or one of those like wicked cool things, and everybody sort of says, ooh, there goes that hipster. He does all sorts of weird and wonderful things. I'm extremely conservative. And so when people sort of say, do you want to come to what I'm make the assumption is one of these experimental things, I sort of grit my teeth and do my best to say, sorry, got to go to my mom's for dinner.
Oh, no.
However... Yeah, I was like amazed because it was the sort of thing where I was not prepared for how good it was. And yeah, I will explain afterwards because yeah, you don't need much context. I think I give context in this thing that I made up last night. So hold on. Sorry about this, the cello people, but you're toast. On December 17th, last year, I went to Le Territoire, a gallery here in Montreal, to see a performance by the Multigraphers Art Group. Quoting from their website,
"The Multigraphers Art Group is a Montreal-based artist collective. As a group, we explore alternative modes of presentation and exhibition with various media. Intermedia, interdisciplinary practice is the main purpose of being of the group. Our art always contains a theme of diversity, globalism, and universalism. Depending on the project, our work has been either individual or in collaboration with other artists."
I saw Kava, continuing to copy-paste from their website.
"The project is called Kava, which is Latin for cave. This is an interdisciplinary collaboration where augmented photography, video projection, real-time audio processing, and live performance will mingle together. The piece is centered on an installation which incorporates these various mediums. The central theme of the installation is the recreation of a womb, a place to recreate our prenatal memories. Large-scale prints on the gel medium are brought into play via a portrait-based, surrealist, and photographic approach to depict the sensation of a mother's womb and the fetus's memory. The lace, which refers to the environment of the womb and its femininity, is used for video projection onto the installation. The use of motion sensors and detectors at various locations within the installation would be under the control of the performer as she moves within the womb. The performer moving within the installation is communicating with her prenatal memories and responding to them as the memories are also responding to the state of the performer. As the dancer glides and dances within the space, the audience can see her movements from the outside through the semi-transparent gel medium and fabric, and can hear the sounds that she provokes as she engages the motion detectors."
Then, because I should, their website is www.multigraphers.com. MultiGraphers.com.
Oh, it's a real... und jetzt wieder zur Kraft setzen. Das meine ich ja Leute. Obwohl er so irrt im Uhren geht. Er wird so immer mehr wie mit der Latten Ursus Hand.
Don't even get me started on a child. Don't even get me started on a child.
Wicked cool. I was drunk off my ass. As a consequence, I didn't take notes. I felt like an outsider. I'm not so certain I liked the music, but at the same time, it wasn't so bad.
And there you go.
All right. You had fun with that, didn't you?
Yeah.
So was that more of a atmospheric demonstration than a review?
No, it was my attempt, because there it's one thing is I didn't realize that it was actually like almost a full month ago.
Okay.
And I've been kicking myself ever since, because normally it's I do take notes, I take obsessive notes, and it's the sort of thing where then upon learning various methods of critiquing things, sort of saying, yeah, I can write a review off of anything, and then suddenly realizing, all this one left me is with a sensation.
Okay.
And it was, as I said, it's just surprising because it was definitely experimental. They had all sorts of stuff going on, and then I'm trying to go through the sort of parts of my mind and say, okay, so what was it that they did, and say, damn, I couldn't tell you if my life depended on it, but all I do is I have this really nice sort of wow, sort of the slack-jawed sensation that happened about it. And so then it was, in making this thing, it was sort of an attempt to try and do the same thing.
Cool.
And given that I don't do sound art for a living at all, I was suddenly sort of like sitting back and going, wow, it's pretty cool. And it actually, if I had drawn it out for another 15 minutes, everybody would have gotten bored and said, okay, I got to go home. I got to go do something. I got to drink some juice. Thank you. Keeping it to 5 minutes, I figure made it nice. And then, oh yeah, that pitch shifting is tons of fun. Because yeah, it was all my voice in there in various incarnations. And it was basically, yes, it was wicked cool. I didn't take notes because I was drunk off my ass, but I had a great, great time. And I'm looking forward to the next one.
So yeah, that would be my one question. You definitely recommend it?
Highly, highly, highly.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Now that I got that off my chest, because I've been meaning to fit that review or some type of review in, how about we hit another ad? Because I think we need to. And you're listening to Movement Museum. It's 2:43 Thursday. Today is the 14th of January, and it's 90.3 FM in Montreal, CKUT. Movement-museum.blogspot.com, 91.7 on cable. There's Facebook, there's Twitter, there's iTunes. Anything else? Did I forget?
I can't think of anything else.
Okay.
We covered everything there.
Cool. And yes, if you want to get in contact with us, tell us anything good, bad, or indifferent, send us flowers. The email address is movement@ckut.ca.
Do we do anything Twitter related with Movement Museum?
Yes.
Oh, perfect.
We're on Twitter, although it is the sort of thing where, all we do is broadcast. We don't read.
Okay.
Which is unfortunate because Twitter is supposed to be a method of communication, and we're not really being really good communicators. We're just sort of like shouting and hoping that somebody else is listening as opposed to listening. And if I just started talking and didn't listen to you, then yeah, we wouldn't have any sort of, this would be a very different show.
Absolutely.
So yes, maybe we'll have to try and figure out how to listen. But yeah, that. How about we just say yes? We will try.
All right.
We will figure it out at some point.
Well, someone who's on Twitter and who's listening very loud and clear
is the Dance Theater Workshop. This is one of the things that was. How did I find out about it? Because yes, in
that.
a different way of communication that I actually do like is blogs.
Okay.
And there is this sort of blog aggregator out there. And I'm now going to space on their name, but it's basically once you get a dance blog, the first thing you do, the second thing you do after getting the dance blog is you go out and look for what other dance blogs there are. And there's this one wonderful dance blog that just basically takes the RSS feed, which is geek speak for something you don't really need to worry about, and just incorporates everything. So you get your dance blog, then you give them the URL, and then they broadcast to everybody and realize, wow, so they're actually sending out the information to everybody. And Dance Theater Workshop has a blog on. And they are part of the feed that comes out sort of like dance bloggers or something sort of fairly generic like that, which then also has, a lot of other dance companies in it as well. And for the most part, it's like just a lot of, shall we say, stuff that one of the reasons why I don't listen to Twitter all that much, because it's just a lot of noise out there. But every now and again, something cool comes out, which is such as this Twitter community choreography, where the Dance Theater Workshop, apparently I missed it since I don't follow their Twitter feed personally, put out a call saying, give us moves. And people did, and then they sort of got a dancer to sort of do stuff and make a dance. And then it was, I sort of, in talking with you last week, said, hey, we could review this stuff because nobody else has. So what'd you think? Because yes, we then discussed in between us. And basically the idea is now there's Twitter choreography number one, or Twitter community choreography number one by DTW. And that was the first one out of the bat. And then for some reason or other, I think because it was the most viewed, sort of just took number 16 and said, let's go do some analysis or some sort of commentary.
And there's a whole bunch of them, hey? Like they go up to
19, I think. It could be 20 because I haven't checked in a couple of days, but last I saw it was 19 at the end of the year.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you talk about what it actually looks like first, and then I'll tell you what I think of it.
Oh, I see. Put the spotlight on me. Let me lead first. Let me put my foot in my mouth so that you can pull it out. depending on where you get it, it's basically on YouTube. They have a YouTube channel. The number one was actually a static camera with this woman. Sorry, I'm going to interrupt because I did, while the Multigraphers thing was running, I did actually go and get their names.
Cool.
So you have J.O.K. Lee, Soo-Yun Cho, and apologies again, you thought you had difficult names to deal with Andrea's last name. There's Hai Kyung Yun, Navid Navab, Jerome Delapierre, Dae Young, and Philippe Hajar. And then also, because there was like this little child dancing in there and stuff like that, and there are a whole bunch of other people that, I just screwed up and didn't write down a darn thing. So there are like lots more people involved, and they did a good thing. But anyhow, yes.
So that was the Multigrafter.
That was the Multigrafters, and they're just really, really cool. That's what Dance Theater Workshop is wicked cool too, just on a different wicked cool sort of thing, because it's inherently much more understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Twitter community choreography number one, static camera. This woman, whose name, again, I should have written down, but that's a snap of the fingers. Shucks. Oops. Sorry, I didn't. Comes off as a cool concept. It's static camera. She's dancing. She does a bunch of moves from sort of rigorous ballet sort of things, if I remember correctly. There's pas de chat, which I imagine is sort of like walk like a cat.
Yeah, that's a typical ballet.
And then there's some other ones, sort of whatchamacallit, touch your right elbow to your left ear, which I don't think is a standard ballet position.
No.
But yeah, they just jammed them together.
And you get to see what the instructions are. They put them at the bottom of the screen there.
For this one. And that is one of the things that I didn't like, because it was the sort of thing I found it sort of very jarring. First off, I think it needed music, which they seem to have figured out later on. The text intrusive, and then if you're going to be using the text, I think they also should have then credited the text at the same time, because at the end they list off who sent in stuff, but they don't tell you who sent in what. And it's the sort of thing where, like, Dave, yeah, NYC Dancer 1925 or whoever it is the one who came up with a really cool move, because that's ultimately, if you're going to be reviewing it really, really seriously, but it is like a minute, so we're going to even be talking and reviewing it longer than it is in length.
So you want to know if like Fuzzy Bunny Slippers sent in the pot of Shah, or if it was...
exactly. That would be nicer. And then the other question I have about it is, did they choose the movements in order, or did they do them in order that they came in, or did they do them... Did they figure out, okay, this one leads to this one leads to this one. Okay, if my elbow's in my ear, then at which point turning around is a lot easier than suddenly pas de chat into, the knee thing, which I always thought was something that took me 2 years to learn how to do that.
This is the one where you're kind of switching hands on your knees as you're bringing them in and out.
Some sort of crossover. Zoom, the TV show Zoom is where I practice real hard.
Which is that movement was interesting too, because the instruction really was just touch your knees together, and she added the hands and all that. And in some instructions she was very specific about following them, like the elbow to the ear, you know, she just put her elbow to her ear and that was that. But she interpreted it some differently, or the pas de chat, she did three pas de chat and there was only instructions to do one.
Oh, I didn't pick up on it. Good thing you're a dancer, you have better eyes and stuff than I do.
Well, I just thought it was interesting because it's like, and they developed it afterwards once you look at the 16, but every movement in between, she goes back to neutral, and then she does the next one, goes back to neutral. So it really is just like a string of movements instead of like a choreography, which changed once they kind of got used to it.
That, now that you mention it, I agree with you entirely. It was just a series of movements that did not have any way of cohesively holding them together. And given that, yes, I'm not the person that you are, I did not notice that they went back to, it's called neutral?
I would say so, yeah. Okay. You know, like feet together, yes, arms toward the side, standing there ready for anything.
Because, yeah, 16 is where the cool concept becomes very, very cool.
Yes.
And there it's, they had decided, okay, we're getting bored of this, just send in movement. So they asked everybody to only send in a word.
Okay.
And so it was one word stuff, which by definition means it's got to be interpreted.
I didn't realize that that's what had happened there, but it was definitely like a learning curve where they realized that you couldn't be...
You're the mover and I'm the reader.
It was a good team.
Yes, uh-huh.
I don't have to do my homework. But yeah, where you know, things as specifically as like, I don't know, like touch your fingers together or the elbow to ear kind of business, it's kind of wherever the move that you had to do previously came out of, sometimes it's difficult to get into that position. And I think that's why she ended up going back to neutral a lot of the time. Whereas when the instruction is hang or shake, it's easier to interpret.
Or the one that I really liked was the crash and the fuck.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Which is where basically it's to give you context, guy dancing and it's sped up video, although not really, really fast, maybe like time and a half or something like that. And there's an inside and there's an outside, and somehow it looks like he walks through the window, but I think that they used fancy smoke and mirrors camera technology so as to do that.
But it's a big Florida ceiling kind of window.
Yeah. And there he's then on the outside, and the voiceover says, crash. And he crashes into the window, and then the voiceover says, fuck. And at which point you just see him pantomime, oh my God, I just, ow, my nose, and just gosh darn, so on and so forth.
And I think he also had just taken a bite out of an apple and dropped it, and it kind of rolled down the sidewalk. It was very cute and fun.
No, this is one where, to me, it was because they enforced the interpretation of it, it made it much more cohesive. The sort of thing, it was a piece. It was something where you could say, oh, I see how this all connects. It does have, I'm not certain I'd call it a narrative, nor do I think it has necessarily an emotion, but it does have something that holds it together. And he says as he grasps his hands.
I would say it had both narrative and emotion, because the words were so easy to interpret, you know, like, shake can be, you know, excitement or anger or anything like that. And he was able to kind of put it in the context again with whatever came before or whatever came after, and really, yeah, just put the energy level on whatever, on the movements in whatever way he wanted. And then that way it also had a better flow. Like he could peak, you know, he could climax the piece and bring it back down again in denouement because it was more flexible.
I agree entirely. There are two things though that I didn't like about it.
Go for it.
One is, what'd you think about the music?
It was fine. That's the other thing, too, though, is that they took the words from the bottom of the screen and read them out to you instead, right?
Only sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Not all the time. But it's to me, it's the drum and bass, I think, is the style of music it was, which is was entirely appropriate for how and what it was done, which is also something that to see it live is impossible. It is something made solely for video.
Okay.
But, oh, man, drum and bass is just annoying any longer than 30 seconds. That's why you're never going to hear it in the background while we're talking.
And so for the full 5 minutes, you found it too much?
Yes. It was just over the top, which understandable, but I'd love to hear it with like some Eric Satie in the background. And that's one of the things I'm entranced about with dance, is given that it is just movement, how perception of movements changes mm-hmm. depending on what's in the background.
And then my question is how much freedom do they really have? If they're asking other people to create the piece, should they not be also asking Twitter public to, you know, help them with the music? Like, or where does that come in? Or should it be in silence? Or should it be the sound of whatever the movement instruction was?
I don't think you have to give up everything to the Twitter community. I think for 16, they did a really, really good job. Mm-hmm. It is a certain, and yeah, it is. It's got 1,453 views as of this afternoon.
Wow.
Which, no, that's lousy.
I mean, is it?
Yeah, no, it's, I can do that falling out of bed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. you can do it falling out of bed. It's really the sort of thing of getting the word out. They have not done a good job of getting the word out.
Okay.
But we're going to do our best to get the word out, because there, if you are listening to this on your computer, there will be links below, which, yeah, depending on my mood and how much more awake I am when I put this up on air, online, it will either be the full videos or it will be links to the full videos. And then you too can see what we're talking about.
It's definitely worth checking out. It's really interesting. Mm-hmm.
But then the second thing that I didn't like is where the dancer, he needs a dictionary.
What do you mean?
Circumvent.
Oh, yeah.
Where he runs around in a circle. Psst, psst, psst. Circumvent doesn't mean run around in a circle. It means avoid. And, yeah, had he run away as opposed to just running around. But anyhow, I like it very much. I think you do as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun.
We should... We'll see if we can hook up with them and see if we can figure out something so that we can use the internet to... When's the next dance week? Indian Mess or something like that?
The Indian Mess?
No, the Indian Mess is...
They happen
tomorrow.
Every month. Yeah. But,
okay, I'm thinking in terms of, given that, if I remember the press release correctly, you're doing some sort of improv dance tomorrow night as part of the Indian Dance Mess.
Yes.
You're doing it with somebody.
Yes. A saxophone player.
Yes, and...
Kayla Millmine.
Uh-huh. And what time is it at?
The show starts at 8:30.
How much does it cost?
It costs $10. And it's $8 for students, and it's at Mainline Theater.
3997 Saint Laurent.
That's
right above Siegel's.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, working out some sort of connection where... Yeah, does your improv dancing with a saxophone become a integral part of the Indie-ish Dance Mess, then at which point we throw it down to Dance Theater Workshop to come up with something that you then dance to that then gets videotaped and put up online.
Oh, that would be fun.
Okay, we'll see if we can either work out the details, throw down the gauntlet, or figure out something and keep everybody appraised. Anything else?
Bum, bum, bum. I don't know. Commotion Farms,
yes.
Dance Week.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Common Space show also that starts tonight at 8 at Mainline Theater again. Same prices. $10, $8 for students.
Everybody know everything? It's going to go off without a hitch?
Yeah. Yeah. We had our tech already and it just looks great. Really exciting.
Cool.
Like complete, unique and really strange mix of pieces. So there's a little something for everybody.
Oh, goodness gracious me. It is 2:58. Primetime is hanging out in the back doing his best to be quiet, but you don't have to be quiet, Primetime. You got the next show up. His show, Positive Vibes, is coming up in actually 1 minute. So at which point, Allison Elizabeth, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've been listening to Movement Museum, which is on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, 91.7 on your cable dial. At some point, I'm going to write this down in a script, get you to read it just so that it sounds different.
Okay, that sounds like fun.
movement-museum.blogspot.com on your computer. There's also Facebook. There's Twitter. There is iTunes. We're all over the place. Go see the Multigraphers group next time they have something happening. Go check out DTW's Twitter community choreography. And yeah, Trisha Brown is, I think, my hero. Thanks again, and we will speak to y'all next week.
Do you wanna dance? 手を取り 踊ろう 夜の明けるまで Oh baby Do you wanna dance with me baby? 二人包む胸 甘い kiss 顔して with me.